be unkind on my part if I didn't take just a moment before we begin our study to express our appreciation, especially for our visitors this morning. Good to see some visiting with us. Want you to feel at ease as we make our study this morning. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll be turning in your Bible to the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. If you would confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we'd immerse you for the forgiveness of sins, as is taught in Acts 2:38, Mark 16, and other places. Before we begin, I want to say how much I appreciate those who came and helped me move last Tuesday. Mary and I were so delighted to see so many show up and to help us, and it meant so much to us, and we sure appreciate it. You put in a lot of sweat and a lot of tears, or at least I put in tears. I still got a lot to move, but I want to thank you so much for all your help. And we also ask that you remember Sam in your prayers. Sam had to go back Thursday, and his lung function's down further, and they're going to run a CAT or a CT scan to see if there's a place in his lung. They may need to do a bronchoscopy. They're going to also run a test for what's called cystic fibrosis diabetes and a couple of other tests. So we ask that you remember him in your prayers. So good to see Sister Turpin back today and Sister Brother Morgan. We sure appreciate them, Sister Deering. We're thankful that their health allows them to be here. If you have your Bible in the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter, if you will, look with me beginning at verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands. They struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Then if you take your Bible, drop down to verse 29 to save some time. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. At this time you'll find the beloved Paul had been mistreated due to his faith in Christ. That man had been proclaiming that Jesus is the divine Son of God. He was the Messiah, the one prophesied about, the one who came to redeem man and save man from sin. And because of his preaching and his appeal, you remember he had been arrested and stood before Felix and before Festus. And you'll remember that when he was being tried, he felt he would not receive a fair trial in Caesarea. So Paul, being a Roman citizen, made his appeal to Caesar. And you'll remember that he would be sent to the Roman emperor for his judgment. And in our study in the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, you'll find the Roman soldiers are taking Paul by ship to Rome to stand trial. And before they board the ship, Paul had warned them that if they set sail, they would incur a mighty storm. And you remember that in verse 13, the divine record says that they looked out and they saw the soft southerly breezes. And they said, well, the soft wind is blowing out of the south. We have nothing to fear. We will board the ship. And against the warning of Paul, they set sail and a mighty storm hits. And when you read your Bible, think about those individuals. It said that when this storm came, they had given up hope that their life would be spared. Can you imagine as they're on that ship and the wind begins to come in and the waves begin to beat against the ship that they begin to think there's no way we'll ever see land again. There's no way we'll ever step foot on land again. And the Scripture says they begin to be fearful for their life. I want us to learn several things from the book of Acts in the 27th chapter. Make application in the lesson's yours. The first thing I want to put into my mind and into your mind is here were individuals that did not heed the warning of Paul. Here was the man of God who told them if they set sail that a mighty storm would occur. But they would not heed the voice of Paul. And the reason they would not heed the voice of Paul is because of the soft southerly breeze. Look, if you will, in verse 13 of the book of Acts in the 27th chapter. It said, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their desire. They based their feeling, they based their action upon their supposition. They supposed that the wind was good. And I want you to take note that the wind was blowing out of the south. They thought everything was fine for the trip. But Paul had warned them that soft winds can be deceitful. That a soft wind can be leading a great storm. And you know, I recognize that in life, we can be going along and everything can just seem fine. Our feelings are going good. Life seems to be going good. Everything seems to be on course. Then all of a sudden, without much warning, a storm can hit in life. And I want to tell you, they can come with the snap of a finger. All of a sudden, life can be turned upside down. All of a sudden, our foundation can be shaken. All of a sudden, that which seemed okay just moments before can be taken away. Have you ever thought how sudden storms come in life? Can you imagine how many people woke up this morning here in Shevel, Tennessee, and they just thought everything's going good in life? But before the setting of the sun tonight, some storm will blow in. Someone may have woke up this morning, and the last thing that came to their mind was this might be their last day on earth. And before the setting sun, there may be someone even in Bedford County that may not be alive when the evening sun comes down. And I want you to think about how in life a storm can strike with just a snap of a finger. The death of a loved one. Sickness. You can all of a sudden recognize that the body's beginning to rebel and all of a sudden your health is gone. Or you might have trouble in the home life. You can have trouble with the children, trouble with the spouse or marriage problems. And I want you to recognize that many times in life, we're not prepared for trouble because we just feel the soft southerly breeze and we just assume life will go on and no storm will hit. But I want to tell you, my friend, this morning one thing. You may be young and you may not have a gray hair on your head. You may not have a wrinkle on your face. And it may be that so far in life, everything has been smooth sailing. But I want to tell you, my friend, storms will come. You don't have to look for them. They'll find you. And I want to tell you that all of a sudden life can change with a snap of a finger. And all of a sudden, though everything seemed fine and you supposed it to be fine, all of a sudden that which you hold precious can be taken from you. But have you ever thought, my friend, God has given us four anchors? Look in your Bible in the book of Acts in the 27th chapter. In the book of Acts, in the 27th chapter, in verse 29, lest they run aground on the rocks. Notice the scripture says they dropped four anchors. And I begin to think about, you know, God has given man four anchors to hold on to. When we look out in life, we need something to steady us. We need something strong to hold on to. And I want to tell you, God has given us four things we can anchor on to. I want to talk about those for a few moments in the lesson series. Have you ever thought that there are four things identified as anchors of the soul? The first thing I'd like you to do is open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you come to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to observe what the Apostle Paul says in verse 16. In verse 16, he says, verse 15 and 16, notice, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you recognize this morning that God has given us His Word, the divine revelation, the Bible? The Bible, the Word of God, is an anchor to hold on to. When life is troubled, when life becomes windy and when the storms hit and when you feel the breeze of this world start to sway you, have you ever thought God's Word can be a steadying influence? Have you ever thought that's something to hold on to when the storms of life come? I want you to think about that the Bible, the Word of God, is precious. Open your Bible to the 119th Psalm. When David was writing the 119th Psalm, he makes a statement in the 105th verse we can quote. But I want you to think about that power of that statement. He said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Can you imagine in life if you didn't have the Word of God? Now, a lot of people in this world don't have the Word. They ignore the Word. It's not that it's not available. It's that they don't want it. But have you ever thought that in life this is an anchor to hold on to? That this Word tells you things that nothing else can tell you. When you go to the grave and you bury a loved one, have you ever thought about what is beyond the grave? When you put that body down into the grave for the last time and you no longer see the face of someone you love dear, have you ever started and thought, well, what's going to happen? Man can't tell you what's going to happen beyond the grave. Man's never been there and been back. But I'll tell you who can: Jesus. And this Word can tell me about life beyond the grave. This Word tells me about heaven and can tell me about hell and tells me how I can get to heaven. You want to know how precious this Word is? That I have hope even in death because God has told me what is beyond the grave. Open your Bible for just a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice with me what the writer of God said in verse 13. In verse 13, he said, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep." Watch it. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." You recognize this morning, if we're loved ones in Christ, we sorrow, we've lost something. This world will never be the same when we lose somebody we love. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope, because he says in verse 14, "If we believe," look at the condition, we must have belief, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For by the word of the Lord, those that remain, that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep." Do you recognize that he talked about that there is life beyond the grave? All I know about heaven, all I know about life beyond the grave is from the Word of God. I'll tell you, my friend, that's an anchor to hold on to. That's something that will steady me when life is hard and when problems come. When all that seems lost, when all hope seems gone, I want to tell you where I find my hope, not in politicians in Washington, not in the promises of man, but in the Word of God. I'll tell you something, my friend. I'm thankful God's given me His Word. I'm thankful God has made known to me His love for me and that He sent His Son to die for me. I'm thankful that God wants a relationship with a sinful man like me and a sinful person like you, that He would be willing to reveal Himself so we can know who He is and have a relationship with Him based on our faith in Him. Have you ever thought that the Bible is an anchor to hold on to? Open your Bible, if you will, to the Hebrew letter in the 6th chapter. In the Hebrew letter in the 6th chapter, the Hebrew writer tells us in plain words it's an anchor. And notice what he says in verse 18, "that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie." So I know this much: God's Word is true. God cannot lie. "We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." We have an anchor. What is it? It's the Word of God. But I'll tell you what else. Not only this, we understand by this Word we'll be judged. In John 12:48, Jesus said that in that day we're going to be judged by His Word. So when I think about life, I recognize God's Word tells me how I can be saved. God's Word tells me how I'm to live while I'm here. God's Word tells me what I need to do to prepare for death. And God's Word tells me about life beyond the grave. I'll tell you, that's an anchor to hold on to. But I want to tell you, there's a second thing. Not only has God given us His Word, God has given us prayer. You know, sometimes I'm ashamed when I think about prayer. Because I wonder if we just do not see the power of prayer to God. Have you ever thought that God has given us access to His throne, that we can bow before His presence and pour our heart out to Him? Have you ever thought of the power of talking to the Creator of the universe? We're not petitioning someone in Washington. We're petitioning the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're petitioning the Creator of the universe. And He is not only the King, He's our Heavenly Father. Open your Bible, if you will, this morning and notice with me in the book of James in the 5th chapter. In the book of James and the 5th chapter. I want you to take notice of what the writer of God said in verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Have you ever thought about prayer? Brother Deering had talked about in that card about the prayers that they receive. Have you ever thought about when we petition our Heavenly Father, the power there? We go to God the Father. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Christ intercedes for us. All three members of the Godhead are involved when we pray. And sometimes I wonder if we don't bow enough and thank Him. Sometimes I wonder if we don't see the value of prayer. If we don't talk about enough how we're to lay our thoughts and cares before Him. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, what did Peter say? Cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? He cares for you. Peter knew a thing or two about casting. Isn't that what he spent his life doing? Casting the net out? And now what he's saying, just as you would cast a net out to catch fish, why don't you take those things and cast them up to heaven? He said, your God cares for you. Open your Bible, if you will, to the Philippian letter in the 4th chapter. When you come to the Philippian letter in the 4th chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, notice what he said to them. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I want to tell you something. That's hard in life. But I want you to think about prayer as being an anchor. He said, when you go to God, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. That's all things. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Look at that part of it. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now you think about the prayer. Don't be anxious. That's what Peter also said. Because he cares for you. Then what did he say? In everything. By prayer. With thanksgiving. You ever notice that part of it? Don't make our prayers just a checklist of everything we want. But be thankful for the prayers God has answered. Sometimes all we want is God to hear this, and we never are thankful for what He has answered. And then, notice, you let Him be known to Him. Ever thought about the power of letting God know your heart? I recognize sometimes the difference between public prayer and private prayer. But I want to tell you that some of the moments when you can just pour your heart out to God in private. And you let Him know what's the most intimate thoughts you have and what your concerns are, what your fears are, and how thankful you are that He hears your prayer. I'll tell you, that's an anchor to hold on to. And if you pray and you don't feel any better, I'll tell you what, you probably didn't pray like you should. Go back and pray again. And let Him know. And also thank Him. Sometimes we count our complaints so often, we don't count our blessings. And I think when I pray, when I stop and I'm thankful for everything He's given me, I start to see God's given me far more than I've ever deserved and also more than I ever recognize. Prayer is an anchor to hold on to. But I want you to think about a third thing. The family is a prayer, is an anchor to hold on to. Oh, I recognize that a lot of folks don't have the family. And I recognize many families have disintegrated, and I recognize that's not always one individual's fault. But I want you to stop and recognize that when you read the divine Word of God, it was in the mind of God that the anchor of the home be, or the anchor of the soul be the home. open your Bible to the book of Genesis and the second chapter, and you'll find that the home was the design of God. In Genesis chapter 2, you remember that God said that a man is to leave his father and mother and is to cleave to his wife, and they shall be glued together. They shall be one flesh. Have you ever thought of the blessing of having somebody love you? Have you ever thought of the blessing of your spouse? You know, one thing I recognize about a lot of people, they begin to take their spouse for granted. And I want to tell you something. If you have a spouse that's been dedicated and faithful and they've stayed true to you, you ought to be thankful for that. And I want to tell you something else. If your parents love you and care for you, we need to be thankful for that. Sometimes we fail to see the home can be an anchor. But I'll tell you what I feel sorry for. And I really mean this. I feel sorry for people who lost that anchor. And I'm going to tell you what. You can't control what others do, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can try to make the home what it needs to be and help your children, and your children help you, and you have one another to sustain. I don't know where I'd be without my family. I don't know where I'd be without people who love me. You ever thought about the anchors God has given us? One more in the lesson, Jews. The local church is an anchor. You say what you want to about the local church. But I want to tell you something. You see the wisdom of God of people coming together as children, brothers and sisters, with a common cause of being His people, living for Him, helping one another do what's right, helping one another get to heaven. And so often I hear people, and all they want to do is throw off on the local church. You say what you please about it, but it's an anchor for the soul of man. When one is involved in the work of the local church, when one is involved in praising God and living for God, it steadies his life. When we come together in worship, we share in something that's very intimate. We're praising our Father. And I want to tell you, this is an anchor to the soul of man. When we sing together, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, all this strengthens one in this life. When we pray together and when we contribute together. And I want to tell you, my friend, when we hurt together and when we rejoice with one another. I recognize sometimes there may be some in the local church that's hard to get along with. I recognize that. And I recognize there are some that sometimes can say things that are hurtful. But I want to tell you something, my friend. The local church is precious. We are a spiritual family. I don't know where I'd be without my brothers and sisters in Christ. People who've loved me and cared for me. People who've stood with me. People who've been behind me in the preaching of the gospel. And I sometimes am hurt when I see people who say they want to be a part of a local church, but they do everything they can to keep from being united together. You know something? We have 3 services a week where we come together as the family of God. Surely we can carve out that much time for our Heavenly Father and for one another. Now, I recognize we're going to have Bible summer series this week. I'll tell you what that is. That's opportunities. Because I'll tell you, whatever your problem in life is, you're not going to find the answer by not learning more about God and being encouraged by your brethren. You'll find the answer in the Word. And you'll find people who love you and are concerned about your soul and about your well-being in a local church. You're not going to find it in the bars of Cheville. You're not going to find it at Papa Top or whatever the bar is down here. But I'll tell you where you will find it. People that love your soul. The local church is an anchor to hold on to. And I'll ask you one question. Let's just say somebody did here hurt your feelings. Say somebody here said something unkind. Are you going to quit serving God and quit worshiping Him? He didn't say it. Somebody else might. You're going to punish God for something somebody else did. I'll tell you what we need to learn to do. Understand other people sometimes say things out of turn. Sometimes they're unkind. Sometimes they don't mean it. But they also need it. Our love. They have a soul Jesus died for. And we help one another. This church is an anchor to hold on to. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, we want you to think about what God has given us. Four anchors for the soul of man. And if you need to be immersed into Christ, we pray you come. As together we stand and sing.